Thank you for downloading from Eat Gamer. For the full run of Eat Gamer, visit iTunes or eatgamer.com. I'm Jeff Wyckoff, and this is Eat Gamer Episode 12, recorded Saturday, June 11th, 2011. In this episode, Duke Nukem, E3, and a track by Serbian act Stray Dog. To me, any conversation about Duke Nukem really has to involve a little bit of nostalgia. Nostalgia that involves games like Doom, Half-Life, to be honest, Wolfenstein, those sorts of classic shooter titles from yesteryear. And so I think that now that Duke Nukem Forever is out, that it's in the public, purchasable, playable, finally, I think that we have to go ahead and take a look back at some of these other titles and how they've re-released over the years so that we can really just know how elegant the entire process has been. Doom is a great example. Doom is perhaps one of the most quintessential first-person shooting experiences, really one of the first to make a huge splash. And the last Doom game, Doom 3, well, it had a four-year development cycle. It was pretty expensive over there at id to develop this game. They got a little bit of play out of it because they were able to use the same engine to go ahead and drive Quake 4 and some other games. But Doom 3 itself spent about 4 years in development, and, well, when it came out, it got a 9 out of 10. Very positive scores. I played it myself. I loved it. It scared my cat. Half-Life. God. How many of us absolutely love Half-Life? Half-Life is one of these games that completely redefined how these games play, how first-person shooters are made. Half-Life was the king of the scripted event, and we've been seeing it ever since. Well, Half-Life 2, 5 years in the making. That game took about 5 years, $40 million for them to produce. It was protracted, long, but then again, they had the Source Engine really to show. That's what they were developing most of this time. Source Engine is widely considered one of the most versatile engines out there. It's very modular, from what I'm told. So it's easy to take stuff out, put stuff back in, which they do. Half-Life 2 spent 5 years in development. Well, came out, 10 out of 10. It's widely considered one of the most perfect specimens of its time. Very well received. I don't think I've ever actually spoken to someone who genuinely didn't like Half-Life 2. But now it brings us to Duke Nukem Forever. Duke Nukem Forever spent about 14 years in development. By those standards, I think, if my math is correct, Doom 3 at 4 years, 9 out of 10. Half-Life 2, 5 years, 10 out of 10. Duke Nukem Forever, we can reasonably expect to come out with somewhere around a 30 out of 10 aggregate score, making it, a 300% game. It's so good that it merits buying 3 copies just to... No. It doesn't. This game is panned. It's bad. Those 14 years are wasted. Duke Nukem Forever spent 14 years getting behind, maybe about 4 years in decent development. Duke Nukem right now sits at an aggregate of about 6 out of 10, and from what I've played so far, it deserves it. It's not a good game, not by today's standards. See, if Duke Nukem Forever had released in a timely fashion, like Doom 3 had released, like Half-Life 2 had released, and it were measured by the standards of the time that it had been developed in, it may have received better scores. If Duke Nukem Forever had released in 2001, I have a feeling we'd probably be giving it 9 out of 10. 8 out of 10. Somewhere right around there. Very positive scores. It would go down as a classic. But instead, in this day of Halos and Modern Warfares and Battlefields, well, it just doesn't cut it. But were any of us really surprised? I think I've been calling this one for quite a while. Back when I used to be on a show called The Loading Screen, we called it then. Duke Nukem Forever will be a disappointment. Either because it wouldn't come out or because it'd just be terrible. Turns out it finally came out and, well, it's terrible. Now, not too long ago here, we had E3. I did a few predictions for E3, and I'm not going to go ahead and dwell on those predictions. I was right on some. Missed a few things that I just didn't anticipate. But I figure it's safe for us at this point to go through E3 in a nutshell. Well, we'll start off with my fanboy favorite, Microsoft. Well, Microsoft showed us a whole bunch of Kinect stuff. Coolest of which was, unfortunately, the Sesame Street game. Little embarrassing. I will admit, though, with everything that they showed, lots and lots of games, lots of little tech demos, stuff that you can download right now, lots of very cool interface stuff coming from the Ghost Recon people, some great voice integration over at Mass Effect, at least for the combat portions. The voice integration for Kinect on Mass Effect for the dialogue looks terrible and stupid. But Kinect, it really is looking better and better. Unfortunately, Microsoft's ability to wow the public with a major press release seems to be about the same, which means that their press releases are about as exciting as a lovely walk through the park. Sony, on the other hand, came out all glitzy and glamorous with all of their 3D. Well, they showed us a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of really cool looking stuff that we already knew about. They showed us a 3D TV that is smaller than the second monitor on my desk. What else did they show us? Oh, they showed us the PS Vita, which from this point on will be referred to as the PSV. The PSV, very attractively priced. This is their handheld here, guys. The PSV, very attractively priced, $250 for a Wi-Fi version, $300 for a 3G version, which would be really cool if instead of it being a PSP2 that's tied permanently to the AT&T network, it was instead a 16GB iPad with Wi-Fi. Sorry, I wasn't really blown away by this one. It's got some impressive stats, it has some impressive technology, but I think based on what we're seeing with Apple, with Android, with Microsoft, the future of handhelds is full-on touchscreen. I realize we want to keep our buttons, but you know what, you're just not going to sell as many as long as you have all those extra buttons and the thing can't make phone calls. Sorry, guys. But it was an attractive price point. And if the software is fantastic, if it's better implemented than the PSP, then you know what? At $250, I may be tempted to buy one, probably not. Now, the big talk before the show, that was definitely Nintendo. Now, I think we all knew what was going to be coming from Nintendo. We had been talking about Cafe for a while now, talking about its crazy new controller that people were saying had a touchscreen in it. Like 50 different sensors, maybe a ray gun and something that you could use to floss while you game. Well, Nintendo got up there. Low lights, cool music. They stood up in front of everyone with their leather jacket on, expectations running high, dark tinted sunglasses covering their eyes, their hands coolly parked inside their pockets. And they turned to the projection behind them. And they proudly proclaimed to the world, "Yeah, we blew it, guys." Nobody knew whether or not to clap. This guy was up there talking about this Wii U. And he's talking about, this is the future of gaming. We have been working very hard on this over at Nintendo, and we are very proud to present to you Wii U. And the place was dead silent. Everyone was just kind of like, what's Wii U? Is this the Wii University? Are you going to teach people how to make Wii? No, that's their new console. Well, once they confirmed to everybody and they said, oh, by the way, guys, Wii U, that's Project Cafe, and we think you're going to like it. Then people clapped. I don't think out of excitement, but because that was their cue. And they realized that they missed it when the big U got drawn next to Wii. Well, sorry, you blew it, guys. Nintendo's press release was really just a huge blow-it moment. The game demos all starred Miis, which, yes, they still look like PlaySchool products. The game footage that they had from third parties, well, all of that, recordings from the PS3 and the Xbox, because there doesn't exist any of that gameplay yet. Everything that they were showing that was from a third party wasn't even for their system. They were just showing it in the background. We're gonna have these titles. We're gonna have Ninja Gaiden. No, it's not in development yet. And we don't know what it's gonna look like, or if it's even going to be cool, or if it'll even be released. But doesn't it look awesome working on the PS3? Yeah, it does, Nintendo. The other thing is that new controller, well, it's what can I say? It's an iPad with lots and lots of buttons. Buttons, 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 buttons. Also, if you thought it was cool, and they've got some cool ideas, you know, using it as an interactive screen. Unfortunately, you're only going to be able to use one at a time. That's right. News out of E3 is the Wii U can only support one touchscreen controller at a time. How bad? How bad? You go through all this trouble, you make this really cool peripheral, and then you blow it. We're all still going to be waving around Wiimotes and nunchucks and... Why can't you just make another Earthbound game, guys? Seriously, that's all you had to do. Make another Earthbound game. And then everything else that they showed us was just lame. I did get caught off guard by one thing. You know, they announced, like, straight up right there, Super Smash Brothers is going to be on the Wii U. Okay, you got me. I'll buy it. No, I won't. We'll see. Maybe. No, I won't. Maybe I will. in related news to all of that, over the course of this E3, Nintendo's stock price dropped by 10%. Yeah. All those people who weren't clapping, you know what they were doing? They were sitting there texting their broker saying, sell, sell, I need out. They've made terrible decisions and I don't know what they're going to do next. So what else? What else from E3? Well, you know, there's really a whole lot that you can predict. Most of it you probably already know, so I'm just going to run through it real quick. Let's see here. Modern Warfare 3 looks like it still plays itself, just like Modern Warfare 2, just like Modern Warfare 1, also known as Call of Duty 4. Yeah. BioShock looks like it plays like Modern Warfare 3. Star Wars on Kinect, still terrible. Oh, that was a great demo, though, this guy. So, Star Wars on Kinect. There was a great way that they could have presented this one. If they had a kid get up there and show him having all kinds of fun, being all animated, you know, Star Wars on Kinect could have looked like fun. Instead, they got a guy up there who was like the most serious person in the world, was probably like 25, and, you know, was just, all of his movements were very precise, like he was trying to look like a Jedi. Not like he was trying to look like he was having fun, but like he was trying to look like a Jedi, and Jedi don't have fun. Neither do they love. And neither will he. Anyways, the responses on the controls just look terrible. absolutely terrible. Looked like it was zero control over your lightsaber whatsoever. There were a few times that the guy stepped forward to do his little dash thing and nothing happened. What a disaster. That and the game just looked lame. It looked like it was an on-rails flail fest. Like, it's like House of the Dead, except with droid bots, whatever, battle droids, I don't know what they called them, but with the droids that have the funny voices, and instead of shooting the droids, you wave your hands around and you slap them to death. That's Star Wars Unconnect. Sorry, it's going to be terrible. You know, a game that I've been looking for quite a while now, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, that still looks like Game of the Year. Man, we've been waiting for that one. It's going to be an Xbox Live download, probably be a PS Store download thing. But, God, it's a side-scrolling action puzzle spaceship shooter physics game. It looks really cool, very stylized. All the music and all of the previews has been great. It looks like there's going to be some sick multiplayer. And chances are, because it's going to be coming out on arcades, digital release, it's probably going to be like a $20 or $15 game. Even better, Game of the Year. I'm telling you right now, you're going to want to get this one. Assassin's Creed. Looks like Assassin's Creed, which means it looks awesome with a beard. Tomb Raider. Now, the Tomb Raider reboot looks pretty sick. I hope you got a chance to see that. I was a little bit put off by how whiny Lara Croft seemed. Like, she definitely seemed like she was a lot more afraid in this one, so this seems very gritty. You know, I'm sure that she's still the strong protagonist that we all grew up with, but something about her just seemed far more Hollywood feminine. But the game looks pretty sweet. It's got this interesting 3D adventure game kind of deal with it, where you hit a button and it highlights all the different stuff in the world that you can interact with that you might use to solve a puzzle. Then you go through and you interact with it and it does stuff. And I kind of see this, if it's well executed, as being like a revival of the 2D adventure game in 3D, which will be nice because we haven't really had a chance to have one of those. Everyone's kind of screwed it up and decided that they're going to go like the pure action RPG route, where puzzles basically come down to how can you hit the button that's higher than you can jump. Oh, also, Lara Croft, still hot. You know, I just thought about it. Gearbox, you know, they did a lot of work here on Duke Nukem Forever, getting that one ready. They're getting a lot of time in my podcast this week. Gearbox, this was one of the few games that I'm actually kind of excited about. They announced that they're going to be making a sequel to Borderlands. Borderlands being the, you know, frag fest first-person shooter, highly stylized, random loot drops, multiplayer, you know, Diablo with guns. Awesome game. I actually own that game and the expansions on my Xbox and on my PC. Awesome game. Cheap now, too. You know, if you haven't played it, it's definitely worth picking up. Best with friends, though. Best with friends. So they're going to be making a sequel, and this one is going to be set in World War II, I believe, and it's going to be called Band of Brothers. Yeah, you heard me. The Band of Brothers franchise has always been one of those, you know, super respectful, very serious World War II series that took things, you know, for the dramatic. It didn't go the action route. It didn't go the tasteless route. It was just a very respectful series. And I think that's probably the reason why it stayed alive. It was one of the few that just kept on going like that. Well, now, there's going to be tomahawks and lightning guns, and there will probably be magic. Just not sure, but, you know, it's Borderlands. It's not actually Borderlands, guys. I'm making that up. But this totally looks like a sequel to Borderlands, just reskin for World War II. I'm excited, because I will take any opportunity that I can get to play some co-op. Let's see, Battlefield 3, that hype machine is in full swing. Man, it's almost like they listened to my podcast or something. Or maybe EA is just learning from its past mistakes when it comes to the Battlefield series, because they are ramping up that hype machine like crazy. It is downright nutty. The stuff that they have put out for Battlefield 3 at E3 and since has just been awesome. It all looks beautiful and fun, and there are tanks and explosions and kicking in doors, and there's a dinosaur, and there's a dinosaur. God, this game's gonna be awesome. Oh. You know, that really wraps it up. So, I just want to remind everybody that, Duke Nukem Forever sucked. If you're a developer, you should probably consider making sure that you have good planning behind you. Get some good project managers, some good directors, people who are going to keep the project on task, on budget, on time. Because the expectations of the marketplace change. And that game would have been fantastic 10 years ago. So, here's the one thing that I forgot about E3. I called it, you m****ers, Halo 4. That's right. Microsoft decided to end their really boring press release with something that actually sent some shivers up my spine. And Halo 4 was announced. They showed a very brief clip, very brief CG, and then closed with showing Halo 4, and I went, ooh, you touch my tra-la-la. And they did. I'm a little bit psyched for that. I'd really like to see how this other company handles the Halo franchise. It's not going to be an easy task. They really they've got their work cut out for them. You know, Bungie is probably sitting there with their arms crossed thinking, yeah, these guys are gonna fuck it up. But then again, look at what Treyarch has done with Call of Duty. You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Call of Duty franchise these days. In fact, I think it's probably pretty detrimental to video games the way that I like to play them. But, you know, they picked up and they've done a pretty decent job of carrying this torch. And Modern Warfare 3 is going to sell probably 1 billion units on day one. It's going to be crazy. But I'll give them a chance when it comes to Halo 4. We will see. The fact is, they've already got the character sheets laid out. They already have the world laid out. And having interesting characters and having an interesting world, that's really half the battle. The other thing is they have the gameplay already well defined for them. They know they're making a first-person shooter, so what do they have to do? Well, find ways to make first-person shooter fun. Find a way to expand the story. Find a way to appeal to the fans. My name's Jeff Wyckoff. Thank you for listening to Eat Gamer episode 12. If you want to send me some email, go ahead and do so. It's jeff@eatgamer.com. Make sure you visit the website at www.eatgamer.com. You can find me on Twitter at eatgamer, all one word, EATGAMER. Make sure you drop by iTunes, leave me a review, drop me some stars. Very much appreciate it. This is Smile by Stray Dog. That Serbian act that I was talking about before. Check it out. Lonely friend, when you can go and dance.
night away, or you can laugh in the face as I can then we go and dance. Night away, or you can laugh in the face as I can dance. Yeah.